payphone is Vernon. Hi, Vernon. Thanks for holding.
Outside of Orchard, too. We've got to do a plug for them.
Okay.
You're not panhandling out there, are you, Vernon?
Huh?
You're not panhandling.
I'm trying to get another dime for the phone here, Robert, so they don't cut me off.
I'll call Jack Bassett.
Anyway, that particular study, they wanted to see the effects of the earthquake in displacing people, so that number was considered high. They came up with around 1,900 people. They admitted they thought they could have been low, estimated up to 2,200. When you go further and read the study, I was always under the illusion that homeless were street people.
Mm-hmm.
Over half those people were housed by FEMA and or other organizations.
Half of the people in the study.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden this number of 2,000 starts to dwindle down to 1,000. Then you read in there, there's guys like Harry Lee would be considered homeless in his mobile home because he didn't have a home, because he was sleeping in a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't add up. Plus, I've talked to some of you. Is Roden still around?
Yes, he is.
Is he still running for city council and still getting a job?
He's working. He's been working at a gas station for about a year now.
Is he off the streets?
Yes, he is.
Good.
Yeah, he's doing good.
The numbers just don't add up for me. I've asked a lot of people that are homeless how they got there, and I've employed them, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
Since we last met, or is that...
No, not since we last met. I'll admit to that.
All right, that was.
I haven't had jobs for them since we last met.
The economy. I guess, you know, again, for me, it's an issue of justice. I mean, Harry's raised a good point. Well, you know, who are your constituents and who supports you in this? And my concern is with the rightness of the issue. That is my principal interest. I'm not looking for a majority vote. I do feel there is a strong sense of justice in the conscience of people in Santa Cruz.
Well, Robert, I've got a strong
you too, Vern.
Sense of conscience, too. But, you know, it's very hard for me to have a lot of compassion. When I go into town a lot, and I don't see a lot of these women and children going into the Word Street shelter. I see a lot of guys between 18 and 35 and 32 and some Vietnam vets like me and like that that just aren't moving on with life. It's almost like a lifestyle in the 60s that, you know, there's something romantic about being a vagabond.
Yeah, I can't, you know, again, I can't agree with you that the majority of homeless people are a bunch of, you know, bums who are on the public trough or something.
I didn't say that the majority. Yeah. I didn't say that right now. I said that I failed to see.
Right.
Okay.
What are you doing there?
Someone's listening to me on the radio, gave me a quarter, so I...
You can continue. You're going to filibuster here on the radio.
50 cents. All right, I'm going to make it. This is too good. There you guys. You're hearing my money from panhandling in front of Orchards of Capitola.
We've got you on tape.
We got the evidence now.
But, you know, Robert, if you talk about a major problem, what bothers me about it is it's not that people don't need to be taken care of, but it's very hard for me to see 1,000 people in a population of 250,000 people like a major problem that can't be dealt with.
Well,
you're
dropping the number there, Vern, but I mean, but let's, rather than quibbling about the number, again, I'm not, this has always been perhaps what has separated me from other activists. I'm not primarily concerned with services for the homeless. I'm concerned with justice for the homeless. I'm concerned about, you know, laws that impact badly on homeless people.
But the breakdown in your argument for me, Robert...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You've got your arguments predicated on fair and just, and it's like people have certain rights, but what I found about rights...
Yes.
...is that they're not capricious or whimsical, and there's also this whole issue what's appropriate in an appropriate time and place. Everyone's got the right to their own sexual behavior... But it's not usually approved of or agreed to or tolerated in church.
Well, I don't think we're insisting that homeless
people
be you know...
Okay, I'll shut up. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying I think that appropriate behavior is you know, is certainly a standard. I'm looking for appropriate behavior by authorities so that everybody is treated fairly, regardless of their income and their appearance. And I think that what's happening in Santa Cruz and has been happening for a long time, and for example, why we need some kind of significant police review, is that that just hasn't been happening with the police force of Santa Cruz, not to mention Capitola, which is an even worse kettle of fish.
Well, you know, wait a minute, Vern, let me ask him a question.
Sure.
In your pass out here, sir, you say that the police review board doesn't go far enough. It's nothing more than a fig leaf. So what is your position on the police review board?
Well,
is it as written or as stated?
My position is that, first of all, I'm very cynical about the prospects of significant police review. I attended a police review commission in Berkeley last Wednesday. Berkeley has one of the strongest police review commissions in the country. And,
your pass out, I can quote it here. It says, the police review debate, the city council's fig leaf proposal.
Right. They have proposed, in essence, a five-person...
Well, don't we get back, I don't want to interrupt you again, Robert, but don't we get back to perceptions of reality and perceptions of justice? I mean, you have your own agenda, your own perceptions of justice, your own perceptions of reality and fairness and all of that. And maybe the city council has another, and I have another, and Vern has another. Why should we go with yours?
Well, it depends on whether you want some kind of real and effective police review or whether you want something that simply deals with the immediate political problem, which is what the city council has, namely the Butchie Baker case, where you had an officer accused of essentially molesting eight women in separate incidents.
Do you think he's going to walk?
He's still on the force, as far as I've heard. I don't know. Jack wasn't.
He has not been found guilty.
About that this morning. Not only has he not been found guilty.
Then he should not be without his freedom, should he?
Well, I'm not saying that any police review commissions don't decide guilt or innocence. They decide whether an officer's conduct is appropriate or not. Guilt or innocence is decided by a criminal charge later. The problem with the current police review proposals before City Council is they do not provide for independent investigators, they don't provide for real significant subpoena power, which is what you need, they don't provide for a public confrontation, as Berkeley has, for instance, between a citizen who feels she or he has been abused and the police officer who is accused and should have a right to his day in court.
Robert?
Yes?
Before I move on, because I do got to get back to work today, and this is—I want this held in context because this is not a love it or leave it statement.
Mm-hmm.
But if Berkeley is great and has great laws that tolerate certain behavior, why do people stay where there are laws that don't? It's kind of like if there's two lagoons in the South Pacific and one's shark infested and the other one isn't, and I go out there swimming in the shark infested water, you're complaining that nature's not fair to me. I'm getting eaten up.
You mean, why do I mention Berkeley?
No, what I'm saying is that there are places that have fair, just laws and relate to people fairly and justly and take care of them. Why would you want to hang around?
I don't put Berkeley
not
in
you,
that.
Yeah. Because you're home. You ain't homeless.
No, I've got a room.
I've been to your house.
Yes, you're welcome to come back. I don't have a house, I have a room. But no, I don't think Berkeley has laws that are that hot, frankly. I mean, I was at their police review commission, and I don't think it's strong.
Where is okay with you?
Well,
where is all right?
I'm enjoying the studio, but I mean,
well,
but in
know,
terms
but I mean,
of what should
that's
be,
that's a very flip and a glib answer.
Right, well,
where is acceptable, politically acceptable to you? Sir?
Politically acceptable?
Yeah.
It's not a matter of
where is a place where the laws are fit your definition of justice and fairness.
I would say that
India.
India? I've never been to
There's
India.
There's no law against sleeping in the
streets
in India.
The world, as it's currently constituted, in many ways needs significant change. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, now we're going to the world. Vern, you're out of money, and I'm out of time.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you, Robert. We'll continue this conversation.
All right,
thanks,
Vern.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a break. The number here is 479-1080. I do know you're holding in Watsonville, Mark. We will get through to you in just a couple of minutes.
You're lost in the computer store jungle, hacking your way through an uncharted course, a tangled mess of unknown systems and wild sales beasts. Stop, get back to the civilized world in downtown Los Gatos. Wolf Computer now offers the computing solution you're looking for. Our own brand of high-performance, low-cost Wolf Computer PCs. That's right, Wolf Computer now offers you Wolf Computers. Dollar for dollar, system for system, you simply can't buy more performance for less. Our Wolf Computer PCs are made right here in Silicon Valley. They're backed by a full one-year Wolf Computer warranty. And you can choose from hundreds of configurations, from 386 desktop systems to 486 towers. We'll match your needs with the right system at the right price. And best of all, you'll receive Wolf's outstanding support, award-winning service department, training center, free seminars, and much more. So get out of the jungle and come to Wolf Computer. Take advantage of special pricing on our new Wolf Computer PCs.
Wolf Computer, your total solution source for a decade, downtown Los Gatos.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tom Snyder. On tonight's radio show, Radio,
It hit the airwaves and America was changed forever. It changed the way we talk and brought us closer together. From the man who gave us Civil War on PBS, producer Ken Burns, now comes Empire of the Air, the men who made radio. Then President Bush's State of the Union and what you thought about it. Only on tonight's radio show. Join us right here at 7 tonight on Local News Talk Radio, KSCO.
Join me for Candor with Carol this Thursday afternoon, January 30th at 3, while I take on the Right to Lifers right here at KSCO Radio, Santa Cruz, 1080 on your radio dial. Pro-choice, right to life, let's talk about it. Call me and share your views on Candor with Carol at KSCO. Talk to you soon.
Welcome back to KSCO Presents. I'm Harry Lee Curtis. We're here with homeless activist, as opposed to activist, which is what they have down in Hollywood, Robert Norse, who bills himself as a peace and justice advocate on behalf of the homeless. Holding on line four for quite a while is Mark. Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show. You're passing through town, it says here.
No, I live in South County. I live down here in Watsonville.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, 2 weeks ago, my wife works in Scotts Valley, and I picked up my kids at school, and we went into Santa Cruz to have dinner. And we hit Highway 1 and River Street about 5 o'clock and saw the herd making the way up to the shelter there. And then driving on down Front Street, we went to the Pontiac Grill for dinner. And there was a transient passed out on the sidewalk, who we stepped over, and on we went to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So last week, you know, we decided, well, let's go to dinner. Again, we do that every Friday night. That's our big treat. And we didn't go to Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
We went to Capitola because, you know, it's a once-a-week event. And actually, we just didn't want to put up with the...
Stepping
The hassle of stepping over someone?
Was that the idea?
Yeah, and my point is, you know, the homeless, yourself...
It's a hard world, Mark. I mean, that's life.
Well, let me
What can
speak.
I tell you, you know?
Well, it is a hard world. And you know what? Yeah. I work all 6 days a week, and on my time off, I don't want to be hassled.
Well, by hassled, you mean having to step over a person in an urban scene.
Well,
I mean,
prior to the earthquake, there were more significant hassle. Well, my point is, the homeless activists are making demands on society, I guess, in the town of Santa Cruz, but you're not putting any chips into the pot. What I'm saying is, you're demanding to have access to the streets, to sleep on the streets, to have your business on the streets. And, you know, you've talked to Berkeley a lot. Well, I think Berkeley is a pit. I mean, that's not a model of a city. And my point is, as a property owner in Santa Cruz County, as a taxpayer, you know, I don't live in the city of Santa Cruz, but if I did, I'd be concerned if I was a business owner, a property owner, that here are people making demands upon me that have nothing thrown into the pot as an ante, in that if they're wrong and the city becomes, you know, less quality of life, it becomes a Berkeley, they can leave. But we're stuck. We're still here. We say a law passed where people can sleep in the street, and I've got
Advocating that people sleep in the street, Mark. I'm advocating that there be legal places outdoors where people can sleep.
Who
have to sleep in the street.
Well, you're saying the campgrounds?
Yeah, a couple campgrounds
would be. For those?
Well, as a matter of fact, private individuals have offered to do that at different times.
Who's going to accept the liability?
That was proposed.
You know, it's odd is that you're asking for a police review.
People have to sleep, Mark.
You know, the only
what can I tell you?
You know, the only violent crimes committed against homeless people, including a murder, was by other homeless people. I mean, they threw that poor guy.
I would disagree. I think the police commit crimes against the homeless.
Well, they haven't murdered anyone yet. I mean,
they beat them up. They don't murder them.
Well, the police didn't throw that poor guy off the bridge a couple years ago.
That's true, but then we have the case of the young folks of the good families who were using the bazooka against the homeless man in the mid-80s.
And you have the case of the guy with the machete on the mall.
Who didn't hurt anyone. He was restrained by other homeless people.
Let's move on, Mark.
To have your children exposed to on a weekend day. I mean, no.
Yeah, but aren't you scapegoating a particular group here? I mean, what do you want? What is your solution? What to drive everybody out of town? I mean, what do you propose, Mark?
I propose that they get a life. I think, you know, you're talking a homeless activism. I think you're getting, you know, the comparison.
Mark, our lines are all jammed here. I would invite you to call my show on Sunday. You can have your full say. I'd like to get as many small comments in as I can.
I'll try
today.
To call back on Sunday, Mark, and we can talk further.
We can all have another longer dialogue on Sunday, but I do appreciate your call, but I do have to move on.
Okay, thank you.
On line six, Mrs. Ellery. Hi, Mrs. Ellery. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, and I enjoy you so much.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you.
You make me chuckle, and you just delight me in the way you handle things.
You're a new caller. I don't recognize your voice. No, I hope you'll call again.
I have called. I'm not always so popular when I do about my views, but I'm going to make this quick because you say you have a lot of calls, but
yes,
you mentioned Butch Baker's name. I don't know if you know him or not, do you?
No, I don't.
When he first came to Santa Cruz, I have a box seat to a lot of what went on in San Lorenzo Park, and believe me, it was horrendous. You couldn't go out during the day or the night without, it was fierce. Anybody who's been around that way that you know would tell you. However, when Butch Baker first came on the scene, I watched him very closely, he and his partner, and my attention was drawn to the fact that he was very polite, very respectful of the individuals he was approaching and wanted to search. And they'd give him an argument, and he would steadfastly insist, but they'd wind up laughing because he would use humor. And his partner as well.
I didn't find what he did very funny when I saw him in action, but we
no,
had different
well,
experiences.
No, well, let me put it this way. This is when he first came to San Center of the Park. Now, he broke his teeth on what went on over here. And let me tell you what the young women used to do with their babies. They'd hide their drugs and the money that their fellow workers with in drugs would give them in the baby's diapers, the diaper bags. And I could write a book on how to deal drugs without getting caught.
But that's another thing.
But let me tell you this.
Yeah.
It's going to be another show.
Also, my neighbors, I'd never heard talk about a police officer of noticing, but they also noticed the courtesy with which he handled people. Butch Baker was highly responsible for a lot of the cleanup over here. Now, there is perhaps he's made so many arrests, good arrests, that somebody cut it in for him on that. But as far as these young women are concerned, if they're going to hobnob in the drug field, they don't get it hard enough. As far as I'm concerned, I'd handle them a lot rougher than that.
Would you call my show on Sunday? We're on from 10 to 1 on Sunday on KSCO Local News Talk Radio. I hope you will do that. I have to move on.
You bet I wouldn't. Thank you for the time.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a small break here. We have the lines are all jammed, and we cannot get to all of you, but we will try. This is KSCO. I'm Harry Lee Curtis, and we'll be right back.
Hi, Michael Zwirling, real estate broker. You know, a wise man once told me there's always a market for unique ocean view property. In my experience, I found that to be true, even in the lackluster local real estate market of the last 2 years. While it's certainly true that sellers of ordinary run-of-the-mill properties have to be willing to deal to move their real estate these days, the fact is, the market for local high-end properties, those of $1 million and up, is as robust as ever, and perhaps even more so. Several million-dollar-plus local homes have sold recently. So whether you're financially well-endowed or of more modest means, I believe now is the time to buy. For there is no more secure, long-term investment than real estate. Why do you think it's called real estate? Call Michael Zwirling Investments for help. Our number is 429-1777. Be smart. Buy now, before, not after it goes up and up and up and up.
Hi,
Hi, this is Rush Limbaugh. Well, Tuesday night, the State of the Union speech. And on our next show, ladies and gentlemen, you have the most incisive, the most insightful, the most analytical, the most in-depth. Damn it, the best analysis of the speech is going to be on this show, plus whatever else is hot. You can count on there being a lot of hot stuff, especially this show Wednesday morning at 9.
Join Rush tomorrow morning at 9 on Local News Talk Radio AM 1080 KSCO.
Bunch of hot what, Rush? Bunch of hot what?
We call him Gush Dumbo, actually.
Well, I'll tell you, Rush, we're going to have some pretty good commentary on Sunday about the state of affairs. And right now we're going to talk with, on line 5, John. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Robert, this is, I'm reminded of a poem by John Donne that goes, you know, like, "Ask not for whom the bells toll, they toll for thee. No man is an island entire unto himself." And it's sort of like, for, in so many ways, every homeless person is a for whom the bells toll. I wonder, you know, the earlier people were talking about, like, how many people there are homeless, and the one person that guy stepped over, I can't, it's just, it's really too much. How many people do have to be homeless? How many people do have to be hurting? And how many billions of dollars have to be transferred to the wealthy in this country, you know?
Well, let me ask you a question, John.
Sure.
You're pretty rabid on this. Some of my other callers have been rabid, but let me ask you this question. How many laws do you want changed to accommodate a lifestyle that obviously doesn't work, that everybody else in the world is trying to correct?
Let me ask you.
If everybody else in the world is trying to help these people become not homeless,
I understand,
and we have an advocacy group that is defending their right to be homeless, isn't this sort of counterproductive to all the money that everybody else is spending all the time?
Let me ask you a question.
All right.
In return.
If you
want
to answer that, I'll answer yours.
Right. Let me ask you a question in return. If you, I'll answer your question. If you will provide job opportunities for everybody in this country and housing opportunities for everyone in this country, and then the people who are as it were, left over.
I don't have the capacity
to
do that,
then,
John,
then
but I do have...
Then you may save those people who do not take those jobs, who do not take those housing opportunities. You may save those that they have the lifestyle that you say, but how can you... walking down the street, determine on sight whether or not a person has decided that.
I didn't say I could, nor did I say that I had. We cannot talk at the same time. You asked me a question, can I answer it?
Sure.
I don't have the capacity to provide jobs for everyone or a home for everyone, but I do have the capacity to try and monitor what's going on in my own community regarding laws. And in my opinion, if you pass laws and enforce laws equally, then you have a fair law that the people want. And if somebody comes along and says they want to change this law, as Mr. Norris does, I think we have a problem here. And I'm going to have to go to a break. We're going to do the community calendar. We'll be right back. Thanks very much for your call.
The KSCO Community Calendar on Valentine's Day, Friday, February 14th, 1992. Citizens for Service Workers is sponsoring a sit-down dinner to support Western Service Workers Association's programs for economic revitalization of our community. Dinner will be prepared by the Scotts Valley Moose Lodge and Citizens for Service Workers volunteers. Enjoy a fine meal accompanied by fine wines and music and learn how you can be a part of the solution. For tickets and or more details, call 688-9017. Enjoy live theater with the Actors Theater production of Ring Around the Rosies, playing February 14th through March 22nd at 1001 Center Street in downtown Santa Cruz. Presented with a grant from the Cultural Council of Santa Cruz County. For ticket information, call 425-PLAY. The Center for Living with Dying has a wonderful volunteer opportunity for anyone with a loving, caring heart and a few hours a week to contribute to working in their Seniors Link, Seniors Living in Crisis program. An excellent training program is provided. For more information and or to request an application, call 980-9801. And that's your KSCO Community Calendar.
Welcome back to a lively edition of KSCO Presents. And speaking of lively, tonight at 6 o'clock, set your VCRs, because George is going to give what he calls the speech of his life. And we'll be discussing it on this station all week long, and especially on Sunday once we get through with the homeless situation. Now, I promised this gentleman a chance to have his say, and I will do so without interruption.
Oh, thanks, Harry. There's a lot to be said, and we don't have time to say it. I'm going to ask people to consider upcoming trials that homeless advocates are going into. One of them is was me. On February 10th, I'm going to trial for a demonstration at the River Street Campground, which was the only legal campground in town before it was closed down. Also in the courts is Dave Jacobs, a town clock peace vigiler, who is facing numerous bogus charges of sitting on the sidewalk, a charge thrown out before, again, on February 10th. People have police problems and are finding abuse situations that are coming up. I encourage them to call SPAN, Stop Police Abuse Now, at 475-2012. That's 475-2012. There's a lot to be done. There's a lot more to be discussed. People have many different views on this, but I'm hoping that in the process of all this we can clarify what needs to be done, and I think elementary justice is the goal which we're all trying to press for.
Beverly, I hope you'll call my Sunday show from 10 to 1. We can discuss this further. We unfortunately will not be able to get to your comment, but I do appreciate it. I want to remind people again, we will be addressing the State of the Union address at 6. This is KSCO Santa Cruz.
Well, we will get to talking about Prozac, which is the reason why we're here today, and we're sort of leading up to that issue. The one point that I want to make about our educational system, I had problems. I never had a problem in school, but I had a problem with school. Because of my nature, I wasn't the kind of child that yelled out or was disruptive. But inside my own head, I was someplace else. Mm-hmm. Inside my own head, I was off to Europe or Paris or somewhere. No one ever knew it. As a matter of fact, my dad said to me one time, because I never cut a class, I never disturbed anybody, I never was sent home from school. And I was talking to him about school one day after I had become grown and how I hated it. And he said, gee, I never knew that because you always went. And I said, well, I went because I was the kind of person that followed orders. You know, and I'm still a person who respects authority and understands that authority is there for a reason. But I had a problem with school because there were times when it wasn't satisfying my needs. And the point I'm making is, and I'm not saying to you guys that I'm exceptional, although I think I am because I just have that kind of attitude about myself. But school never handles the exceptional, whether you be exceptionally quick, mm-hmm. or exceptionally slow. And not only doesn't it, society doesn't handle exceptional people very well. Edison was maligned. Some of our greatest people that have accomplished things were maligned because people did not understand where their greatness was coming from. So society as a whole does not understand nor handles very well exceptional people, whether they be, again, exceptionally quick or exceptionally slow. And then they become disturbed by your quickness or by your slowness because they don't know how to handle you. Boom. So then they come with a quick fix kind of solution, like drugs.
Yes.
Let's talk about Prozac. Why Prozac? What is it? What is it supposed to take care of? And what kind of drug is it? And what's going on here?
It's a feel-good drug.
Okay.
It's one that builds up in the body over 2 to 3 weeks a number of metabolites. In other words, this chemical breaks down into other chemicals, which we call metabolites. And those metabolites then are psychoactive, which means that they are mind-altering, and they produce a state of feeling good to some degree. What it actually does is it blocks the transfer of a chemical, the absorption of a chemical called serotonin in the brain.
Mm.
Psychiatrists are very fond of fiddling with the chemicals of the brain. When they do this, by the way, they often cause brain damage, permanent and irreversible in these individuals. And this is a drug which is capable of doing that. But what they're doing is they're raising serotonin levels in the brain. Now, what we know about serotonin from studies done over at the Neuropsychiatric Institute at UCLA, for example, is that, say, in troops of rhesus monkeys, when they did studies, they found that the dominant male of the troop had double the serotonin level of any other monkey in the troop. When they killed that monkey, as they often do in these experiments, what happened was that the other males of the troop doubled their serotonin levels and they vied for dominance. They became extremely aggressive, extremely violent, and they fought it out until one proved dominant. At that point, the others dropped their serotonin levels and the dominant male remained elevated, double the level of anyone else.
Mm.
And he remained violent, aggressive, and dominated the troop in that way. Now, what we're seeing with this particular drug is that a certain number of people on it become extremely violent, extremely suicidal.
What is this drug supposed to accomplish? I mean, what is the clinical reason why someone would prescribe this drug for me? I mean, I walk in, am I depressed? Or what is it supposed to handle?
Technically, it's a central nervous system stimulant, but it is being used as an antidepressant.
So I have this patient. My wife is depressed, and I'm concerned about her. So I go to a doctor, mm-hmm. and he says, well, I think she needs to see a psychiatrist because she has this chronic depression. Mm-hmm. We go to the psychiatrist. He puts her on the couch, and she's really depressed, and he can't figure out anything else to do. So he says, well, we'll give her this drug. Is that basically what happens?
Yeah, or, I mean, it's being given out like, candy at mm-hmm. this point. Mm-hmm. It's been on the market for just a little over 2 years.
Can you buy it over the counter?
No, it's by prescription. Mm-hmm. And there's somewhere between 700,000 and 1 million people on the drug right now. Eli Lilly expects that they will make $1 billion, that's with a B, dollars off this drug next year. What they've done is they've promoted it as being new and safe and effective. You know, you can't sell a drug in this country, not even aspirin, unless you can label it safe and effective. The Food and Drug Administration labels it that, including prescription cocaine, including morphine.